Romeo and Juliet. Act 1, Scene I. A public place. Enter Samson and Gregory armed with swords and bucklers. Samson.
Gregory, on my word, will not carry coals.
Gregory.
No, for then we should be colliers.
Samson. I mean, if we be in collar, we'll draw.
Gregory. Eh, while you live, draw your neck out of the collar.
Samson. I strike quickly, being moved.
Gregory. But thou art not quickly moved to strike.
Samson. A dog of the house of Montague moves me.
Gregory. To move is to stir, and to be valiant is to stand, therefore, if thou art moved, thou runst away.
Samson. A dog of that house shall move me to stand. I will take the wall of any man or maid of Montague's.
Gregory. That shows thee a weak slave, for the weakest goes to the wall.
Samson. True, and therefore women, being the weaker vessels, are ever thrust to the wall, therefore I will push Montague's men from the wall, and thrust his maids to the wall.
Gregory. The quarrel is between our masters and us their men.
Samson. 'Tis all one, I will show myself a tyrant, when I have fought with the men I will be civil with the maids, I will cut off their heads.
Gregory. The heads of the maids?
Samson. Ay, the heads of the maids, or their maidenheads, take it in what sense thou wilt.
Gregory. They must take it in sense that feel it.
Samson. Me they shall feel while I am able to stand, and 'tis known I am a pretty piece of flesh.
Gregory. 'Tis well thou art not fish, if thou hadst been poor John.
Draw thy thule, here comes of the house of Montagues.
Enter Abram and Balthasar.
Samson. My naked weapon is out, quarrel, I will back thee.
Gregory. How?
Turn thy back and run?
Samson. Fear me not.
Gregory. No, marry, I fear thee.
Samson. Let us take the law of our sides, let them begin.
Gregory. I will frown as I pass by, and let them take it as they list.
Samson. Nay, as they dare. I will bite my thumb at them, which is disgrace to them if they bear it.
Abram. Do you bite your thumb at us, sir?
Samson. I do bite my thumb, sir.
Abram. Do you bite your thumb at us, sir?
Samson. Is the law of our side if I say eh?
Gregory. No.
Samson. No, sir, I do not bite my thumb at you, sir, but I bite my thumb, sir.
Gregory. Do you quarrel, sir?
Abram. Quarrel, sir?
No, sir.
Samson. But if you do, sir, am for you. I serve as good a man as you.
Abram. No better.
Samson. Well, sir.
Enter Benvolio.
Gregory. Say better, here comes one of my master's kinsmen.
Samson. Yes, better, sir.
Abram. You lie.
Samson. Draw, if you be men.
Gregory, remember thy washing blow.
They fight.
Benvolio. Part, fools. Put up your swords, you know not what you do.
Beats down their swords.
Enter Tybalt.
Tybalt.
What, art thou drawn among these heartless hinds? Turn thee, Benvolio, look upon thy death.
Benvolio. I do but keep the peace, put up thy sword, or manage it to part these men with me.
Tybalt. What, drawn, and talk of peace? I hate the word as I hate hell, all Montagues, and thee, have at thee, coward.
They fight. Enter three or four citizens with clubs.
First citizen.
Clubs, bills and partisans.
Strike.
Beat them down.
Down with the Capulets.
Down with the Montagues.
Enter Capulet in his gown, and Lady Capulet.
Capulet.
What noise is this? Give me my long sword, ho.
Lady Capulet.
A crutch, a crutch. Why call you for a sword?
Capulet.
My sword, I say. Old Montague is come, and flourishes his blade in spite of me.
Enter Montague and his lady Montague.
Montague. Thou villain Capulet.
Hold me not, let me go.
Lady Montague. Thou shalt not stir one foot to seek a foe.
Enter Prince Escalus, with attendants.
Prince. Rebellious subjects, enemies to peace, profaners of this neighbor-stained steel, will they not hear?
What, ho? You men, you beasts, that quench the fire of your pernicious rage with purple fountains issuing from your veins, on pain of torture, from those bloody hands throw your mistempered weapons to the ground and hear the sentence of your moved prince.
Three civil brawls, bred of an airy word, by the old Capulet and Montague, have thrice disturbed the quiet of our streets, and made Verona's ancient citizens cast by their grave beseeming ornaments, two-wheeled old partisans, in hands as old, cankered with peace, to part your cankered hate. If ever you disturb our streets again, your lives shall pay the forfeit of the peace. For this time all the rest depart away, you, Capulet, shall go along with me, and Montague, come you this afternoon, to know our farther pleasure in this case, to old Freetown, our common judgment place. Once more, on pain of death, all men depart. Exeunt prince and attendants, Capulet, Lady Capulet, Tybalt, citizens, and servants. Montague. Who set this ancient quarrel new abroach? Speak, nephew, were you by when it began? Benvolio. Here were the servants of your adversary and yours, close fighting ere I did approach. I drew to part them, in the instant came the fiery Tybalt, with his sword prepared, which, as he breathed defiance to my ears, he swung about his head, and cut the winds, who nothing hurt withal, hissed him in scorn. While we were interchanging thrusts and blows came more and more, and fought on part and part, till the prince came, who parted either part. Lady Montague. Oh, where is Romeo? Saw you him today? Right glad I am he was not at this fray. Benvolio. Madam, an hour before the warship's sun peered forth the golden window of the east, a troubled mind drave me to walk abroad, where underneath the grove of sycamore that westward rooteth from this city side, so early walking did I see your son. Towards him I made, but he was ware of me, and stole into the covert of the wood. I, measuring his affections by my own, which then most sought where most might not be found, being one too many by my weary self, pursued my humor, not pursuing his, and gladly shunned who gladly fled from me. Montague. Many a morning hath he there been seen, with tears augmenting the fresh morning's dew, adding to clouds more clouds with his deep sighs, but also soon as the all-cheering sun should in the farthest east begin to draw the shady curtains from Aurora's bed, away from light steals home my heavy son, and private in his chamber pens himself, shuts up his windows, locks fair daylight out and makes himself an artificial night. Black and portentous must this humor prove, unless good counsel may the cause remove. Benvolio. My noble uncle, do you know the cause? Montague. I neither know it nor can learn of him. Benvolio. Have you importuned him by any means? Montague. Both by myself and many other friends, but he, his own affection's counselor, is to himself, I will not say how true, but to himself so secret and so close, so far from sounding and discovery, as is the budbit with an envious worm ere he can spread his sweet leaves to the air, or dedicate his beauty to the sun. Could we but learn from whence his sorrows grow, we would as willingly give cure as know. Enter Romeo. Benvolio. See, where he comes. So please you step aside, I'll know his grievance or be much denied. Montague. I would thou wert so happy by thy stay to hear true shrift. Come, madam, let's away. Exeunt Montague and Lady Montague. Benvolio. Good morrow, cousin. Romeo. Is the day so young? Benvolio. But new struck nine. Romeo. Ay me, sad hours seem long. Was that my father that went hence so fast? Benvolio. It was. What sadness lengthens Romeo's hours? Romeo. Not having that which, having, makes them short. Benvolio. In love? Romeo. Out. Benvolio. Of love? Romeo. Out of her favor where I am in love. Benvolio. Alas that love so gentle in his view, should be so tyrannous and rough in proof. Romeo. Alas that love, whose view is muffled still, should, without eyes, see pathways to his will. Where shall we dine? Oh me! What fray was here? Yet tell me not, for I have heard it all. Here's much to do with hate, but more with love. Why, then, O brawling love! O loving hate! O anything, of nothing first create! O heavy lightness! Serious vanity! Misshapen chaos of well-seeming forms! Feather of lead, bright smoke, cold fire, sick health! Still waking sleep, that is not what it is. This love feel I, that feel no love in this. Dost thou not laugh? Benvolio. No cause, I rather weep. Romeo. Good heart, at what? Benvolio. At thy good heart's oppression. Romeo. Why such is love's transgression? Griefs of mine own lie heavy in my breast, which thou wilt propagate to have oppressed with more of thine. This love that thou hast shown doth add more grief to too much of mine own. Love is a smoke made with the fume of sighs, being burned, a fire sparkling in lovers' eyes, being vexed, a sea nursed with lovers' tears. What is it else? A madness most discreet, a choking gall, and a preserving sweet. Farewell, my cause. Going. Benvolio. Soft. I will go along, and if you leave me so, you do me wrong. Romeo. Tut. I have lost myself, I am not here. This is not Romeo, he's some other where. Benvolio. Tell me in sadness who is that you love? Romeo. What, shall I groan and tell thee? Benvolio. Groan. Why, no, but sadly tell me who. Romeo. Bid a sick man in sadness make his will, a word ill urged to one that is so ill. In sadness, cousin, I do love a woman. Benvolio. I aimed so near when I supposed you loved. Romeo. A right good markman, and she's fair I love. Benvolio. A right fair mark, fair cause, is soonest hit. Romeo. Well, in that hit you miss, she'll not be hit with Cupid's arrow, she hath Diane's wit, and in strong proof of chastity well armed, from love's weak childish bow she lives uncharmed. She will not stay the siege of loving terms nor bide thin counter of assailing eyes, nor ope her lap to saints seducing gold. Oh, she's rich in beauty, only poor that when she dies, with beauty dies her store. Benvolio. Then she hath sworn that she will still live chaste? Romeo. She hath, and in that sparing makes huge waste, for beauty starved with her severity, cuts beauty off from all posterity. She is too fair, too wise, wisely too fair, to merit bliss by making me despair. She hath forsworn to love, and in that vow do I live dead, that live to tell it now. Benvolio. Be ruled by me, forget to think of her. Romeo. Oh, teach me how I should forget to think. Benvolio. By giving liberty unto thine eyes, examine other beauties. Romeo. 'Tis the way to call hers, exquisite, in question more. These happy masks that kiss fair ladies' brows, being black, puts us in mind they hide the fair. He that is struck and blind cannot forget the precious treasure of his eyesight lost. Show me a mistress that is passing fair. What doth her beauty serve but as a note where I may read who passed that passing fair? Farewell, thou canst not teach me to forget. Benvolio. I'll pay that doctrine, or else die in debt. Exeunt. Scene 2. A street. Enter Capulet, Paris, and servant. Capulet. But Montague is bound as well as I, in penalty alike, and 'tis not hard, I think, for men so old as we to keep the peace. Paris. Of honorable reckoning are you both, and pity 'tis you lived at odds so long. But now, my lord, what say you to my suit? Capulet. But saying o'er what I have said before. My child is yet a stranger in the world, she hath not seen the change of 14 years, let 2 more summers with her in their pride ere we may think her ripe to be a bride. Paris. Younger than she are happy mothers made. Capulet. And too soon marred are those so early made. The earth hath swallowed all my hopes but she is the hopeful lady of my earth, but woo her, gentle Paris, get her heart, my will to her consent is but a part, and she agree, within her scope of choice lies my consent and fair according voice. This night I hold an old accustomed feast, whereto I have invited many a guest, such as I love, and you among the store, one more, most welcome, makes my number more. At my poor house look to behold this night earth treading stars that make dark heaven light, such comfort as do lusty young men feel when well apparelled April on the heel of limping winter treads, even such delight among fresh female buds shall you this night inherit at my house. Hear all see, and like her most whose merit most shall be, which, on more view of many, mine, being one, may stand in number, though in reckoning none. Come, go with me. Go, sirrah, trudge about through fair Verona, find those persons out whose names are written there, give a paper, and to them say, my house and welcome on their pleasure stay. Exeunt Capulet and Paris. Servant. Find them out whose names are written here. It is written that the shoemaker should meddle with his yard and the tailor with his last, the fisher with his pencil, and the painter with his nets, but I am sent to find those persons whose names are here writ, and can never find what names the writing person hath here writ. I must to the learned. In good time. Enter Benvolio and Romeo. Benvolio. Tut, man, one fire burns out another's burning, one pain is lessened by another's anguish, turn giddy, and be helped by backward turning, one desperate grief cures with another's languish, take thou some new infection to thy eye, and the rank poison of the old will die. Romeo.
Your plantain leaf is excellent for that.
Benvolio. For what, I pray thee?
Romeo. For your broken shin.
Benvolio. Why, Romeo, art thou mad?
Romeo. Not mad, but bound more than a madman is, shut up in prison, kept without my food, whipped and tormented and, gotten, good fellow.
Servant. God ge gotten.
I pray, sir, can you read?
Romeo. Ay, mine own fortune and my misery.
Servant. Perhaps you have learned it without book. But I pray, can you read anything you see?
Romeo. Ay, if I know the letters and the language.
Servant. Ye say honestly, rest you merry.
Romeo. Stay, fellow, I can read.
He reads the letter. Signor Martino and his wife and daughters, County Anselmo and his beauteous sisters, the lady widow of Utruvio, Signor Placendio and his lovely nieces, Mercutio and his brother Valentine, mine uncle Capulet, his wife, and daughters, my fair niece Rosalina and Livia, Signor Valentio and his cousin Tybalt, Lucio and the lively Helena. A fair assembly. Gives back the paper, whither should they come?
Servant.
Up.
Romeo.
Whither to supper?
Servant.
To our house.
Romeo.
Whose house?
Servant.
My master's.
Romeo.
Indeed I should have asked you that before.
Servant.
Now I'll tell you without asking. My master is the great rich Capulet, and if you be not of the house of Montagues, I pray come and crush a cup of wine. Rest you merry.
Exit.
Benvolio. At this same ancient feast of Capulet sups the fair Rosaline whom thou so lovest, with all the admired beauties of Verona. Go thither and with unattainted eye, compare her face with some that I shall show, and I will make thee think thy swan a crow.
Romeo.
When the devout religion of mine eye maintains such falsehood, then turn tears to fire, and these who, often drowned, could never die, transparent heretics, be burned for liars. One fairer than my love? The all-seeing sun ne'er saw her match since first the world begun.
Benvolio.
Tut, you saw her fair, none else being by, herself bought with herself in either eye, but in that crystal scales let there be weighed your lady's love against some other maid that I will show you shining at this feast, and she shall scant show well that now shows best.
Romeo.
I'll go along, no such sight to be shown, but to rejoice in splendor of my own.
Exeunt. Scene 3. Room in Capulet's house.
Enter Lady Capulet and nurse.
Lady Capulet.
Nurse, where's my daughter? Call her forth to me.
Nurse.
Now, by my maidenhead, at 12 years old, I bade her come.
What, lamb?
What ladybird?
God forbid.
Where's this girl?
What, Juliet?
Enter Juliet.
Juliet.
How now, who calls?
Nurse.
Your mother.
Juliet.
Madam, I am here. What is your will?
Lady Capulet.
This is the matter. Nurse, give leave a while, we must talk in secret.
Nurse, come back again, I have remembered me, thou's hear our counsel.
Thou knowest my daughter's of a pretty age.
Nurse.
Faith, I can tell her age unto an hour.
Lady Capulet.
She's not 14.
Nurse.
I'll lay 14 of my teeth, and yet, to my teen be it spoken, I have but 4, she is not 14. How long is it now to Lammastide?
Lady Capulet.
A fortnight and odd days.
Nurse.
Even or odd, of all days in the year, come Lammas Eve at night shall she be 14. Susan and she, God rest all Christian souls, were of an age.
Well, Susan is with God, she was too good for me.
But as I said, on Lammas Eve at night shall she be 14, that shall she, Mary, I remember it well. 'Tis since the earthquake now 11 years, and she was waned. I never shall forget it, of all the days of the year, upon that day, for I had then laid wormwood to my dug, sitting in the sun under the dovehouse wall, my lord and you were then at Mantua,
nay, I do bear a brain.
But as I said, when it did taste the wormwood on the nipple of my dug and felt it bitter, pretty fool, to see it touchy, and fall out with the dug.
Shake, quoth the dovehouse, 'twas no need, I trow, to bid me trudge.
And since that time it is 11 years, for then she could stand alone, nay, by throat she could have run and waddled all about, for even the day before she broke her brow, and then my husband, God be with his soul. A was a merry man, took up the child, yea, quoth he, dost thou fall upon thy face? Thou wilt fall backward when thou hast more wit, wilt thou not, Jewel? And, by my holidame, the pretty wretch left crying,
and said A. To see now how a jest shall come about. I warrant, and I should live 1,000 years, I never should forget it. Wilt thou not, Jewel? Quoth he, and, pretty fool, it stinted, and said A. Lady Capulet. Enough of this, I pray thee hold thy peace. Nurse. Yes, madam, yet I cannot choose but laugh, to think it should leave crying, and say A, and yet I warrant it had upon it brow a bump as big as a young cockerel's stone, a perilous knock, and it cried bitterly. Yea, quoth my husband, fallst upon thy face? Thou wilt fall backward when thou comest to age, wilt thou not, Jewel? It stinted, and said A. Juliet. And stint thou too, I pray thee, nurse, say I. Nurse. Peace, I have done. God mark thee to his grace, thou wast the prettiest babe that e'er I nursed, and I might live to see thee married once, I have my wish. Lady Capulet. Mary, that Mary is the very theme I came to talk of. Tell me, daughter Juliet, how stands your disposition to be married? Juliet. It is an honor that I dream not of. Nurse. An honor. Were not I thine only nurse, I would say thou hadst sucked wisdom from thy teat. Lady Capulet. Well, think of marriage now, younger than you, here in Verona, ladies of esteem, are made already mothers. By my count I was your mother much upon these years that you are now a maid. Thus, then, in brief, the valiant Paris seeks you for his love. Nurse. A man, young lady. Lady, such a man as all the world, why he's a man of wax. Lady Capulet. Verona's summer hath not such a flower. Nurse. Nay, he's a flower, in faith a very flower. Lady Capulet. What say you, can you love the gentleman? This night you shall behold him at our feast, read o'er the volume of young Paris' face, and find a light writ there with beauty's pen. Examine every married lineament, and see how one another lends content, and what obscured in this fair volume lies, find written in the margent of his eyes. This precious book of love, this unbound lover, to beautify him, only lacks a cover, the fish lives in the sea, and 'tis much pride for fair without the fair within to hide. That book in many's eyes doth share the glory, that in gold clasps locks in the golden story, so shall you share all that he doth possess, by having him, making yourself no less. Nurse. No less, nay bigger. Women grow by men. Lady Capulet. Speak briefly, can you like of Paris love? Juliet. I'll look to like, if looking liking move, but no more deep will I and art mine eye than your consent gives strength to make it fly. Enter a servant. Servant. Madam, the guests are come, supper served up, you called, my young lady asked for, the nurse cursed in the pantry, and everything in extremity. I must hence to wait, I beseech you follow straight. Lady Capulet. We follow thee. Exit servant. Juliet, the county stays. Nurse. Go, girl, seek happy nights to happy days. Exeunt. Scene 4. A street. Enter Romeo, Mercutio, Benvolio, with 5 or 6 maskers, torch bearers and others. Romeo. What, shall this speech be spoke for our